So we just sang, I love to tell the story. I love to tell the story. I love to tell the story of Jesus. Of Jesus and his love, right? We're on the last week of our series, Bless, and this week is about sharing your faith, telling that story to the people that you come in contact with in your life, the people that God places in your life, sharing that story and telling that story of the good news of Jesus, that our sinfulness, it separated us from God. We were separated because of our disobedience, but God sent Jesus and lived a perfect sinless life, as we read. The sinless Savior died so that we sinful people can be set free through faith in Christ Jesus. And that's the promise, and that's the hope of we have in Scripture. And so that's the story that we want to tell. And we've been walking this journey. That story that we tell is evangelism. Evangelism, if you remember 5 weeks ago, we said it's the sharing of good news of great joy with the world. That's how we started. And who doesn't want to hear good news, right? We all want to hear good news, and that's what we're doing. And we walk through BLESS, B-L-E-S-S. First, we began with prayer for who the people the Lord had laid on your heart. Second, we listened with care. We listened to the Holy Spirit, who the Spirit would lead us to and who the Spirit would want us to talk to. And as well as listening to other people and what they have to say. The E was eat together. We share fellowship together at table with one another that we want to share the good news with. And last week we talked about serving. As we serve, we reflect Christ to others. That when we serve others, we show them Jesus. And as Christ has served us, no servant is greater than his master. So this week is share the story from lost to found. And so you may be saying, all right, good. Thank you, Pastor. That's all good stuff. I need some practical tools here. Give me something to latch on to that can show me how I can share the gospel, how I can share the good news. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is the practical tools to share the good news of Jesus with the world. So everyone should have, you know, a yellow insert. Pull out your yellow insert in the bulletin. We're going to look at the side that says Acts 21, 27 through 22. So take a look at that. We're going to look at that side first. We just heard the passage, Acts 21. Let me give you some context. Paul, a Christian who's also Jewish, right? He's finally entered into Jerusalem. He's come to Jerusalem with other Gentiles, with non-Jews, to deliver a special offering. He'd been gathering an offering and wants to bring it. And when he gets to Jerusalem, it's a hot mess in Jerusalem. It's just a disaster there. There's political mistrust. The Roman government is abusing the people. There's religious persecution going on, and it's just a mess everywhere that they turn. And so the Roman governors who had been over Jerusalem were mistreating the Jewish community in Jerusalem. And so as a result, the Jewish community had become tight-knit with each other. If you imagine this picture of animals about to attack another group of animals, what happens? They kind of turn their backs and back into each other so that everybody can see everything. That's kind of what happened to the Jewish community in Jerusalem. They kind of turned their backs and closed themselves off from the rest of the world and said, we're protecting ourselves. Nobody else can come in here. And so Paul comes into Jerusalem with Gentiles, and he wants to go to the temple. He wants to go to the temple to have a 7-day purification ritual so that he can identify with the Jews there and be able to share the gospel there. And so this big argument happens. Is Paul going to bring Gentiles into the temple? Is he going to bring them into a place they have never been welcomed before? Is he going to flip everything on its head? And so that's where our passage begins. Let's read again, Acts 21, starting in verse 27. When the 7 days were nearly over, that's the purification ritual, some Jews from the province of Asia saw Paul at the temple. They stirred up the whole crowd and seized him, shouting, "Fellow Israelites, help us. This is the man who teaches everyone everywhere against our people and our law and this place." How about that, right? He teaches everyone everywhere against us. "And besides, he has brought Greeks into the temple and defiled this holy place. They had previously seen Trophimus, the Ephesian, in the city with Paul and assumed that Paul had brought him into the temple. The whole city was aroused and the people came running from all directions. Seizing Paul, they dragged him from the temple and immediately the gates were shut. While they were trying to kill him, news reached the commander of the Roman troops that the whole city of Jerusalem was in an uproar. He at once took some officers and soldiers and ran down to the crowd. When the rioters saw the commander and his soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. The commander came up and arrested him and ordered him to be bound with two chains. Then he asked who he was and what he had done.
Some in the crowd shouted one thing and some another, and since the commander could not get at the truth, because of the uproar, he ordered that Paul be taken into the barracks. When Paul reached the steps, the violence of the mob was so great, he had to be carried by the soldiers. The crowd that followed him kept shouting, "Get rid of him!" So as they approached the temple, there's this outer courtyard, a common courtyard, where both the Jews and the Gentiles could gather together. But as you got closer to the temple, there were warning stones set up every so many feet along the way. Warning Gentiles, turn back. Warning Gentiles, turn back. You're not welcome here, essentially. Turn back. And then when you finally got to the temple, there was a little dividing wall, and there was a sign on the temple that said, "No foreigner may enter within the barricade which surrounds the temple and enclosure. Anyone who is caught doing so will have himself to blame for what follows, death." Right? It was this warning to the Gentiles, don't cross into this temple. This is for the Jews. And so in Ephesians 2, that's probably the wall that Paul is talking about when he says Christ came to tear down the dividing wall. That was the wall divided Jew and Gentile. And so they accuse Paul. They've seen him in the city with a Gentile, and he's trying to reach everyone about the Messiah, about Jesus. And they think he's going to bring a Gentile into the temple. But that's not really what's happening. He's trying to just be purified in this purification ritual that he has. And so they grab him. They pull him out of the temple. They start beating him, which we just read, right? And here, for the first time in his life, Rome comes to his rescue, I think. Right? They save him by arresting him. They save him by arresting him. They pull him off the mob and say, "All right, let's go." And they try and get him into the barracks, which were attached to the temple there. And as they get closer, his hands are chained and his ankles are chained, so he's probably can only walk, you know, like this. And so they're like, "Let's just pick him up. We're going to get beaten too," the guards think. "Let's just pick him up and take him with us." And they drop him on the steps, and he's climbing up the steps, and they're about to put him into the jail cell. Why am I telling you all this? Well, you got to understand the scene of what's happening. It was a riot. It was essentially a mass riot that had started, that Paul had walked into. And he's standing on the steps, maybe 5 feet from his jail cell. He's about to walk into his jail cell. And so what does Paul think at that moment? What does it say? This would be a great time to share the gospel, right? That's what he's thinking. I'm in chains. I'm 5 feet from jail. But guess what? I got a huge crowd standing behind me. This would be a great time to share the gospel. And so in Paul's speech, we see 6 things that are listed on your yellow sheet there of ways that Paul considers or speaks or acts when we prepare to share the good news with people. And that's what I want to talk to today, some practical things. The first one is this. First on the yellow sheet, consider any opportunity an opportunity to share your testimony. Consider any opportunity an opportunity to share your testimony and what God has done. Paul is in chains. He's standing on the steps of a prison. He's about to go to jail. He'd come into the temple for an audience. Well, guess what? God gave him an audience. Maybe not how he expected, but God gave it to him. Right? And now he has all these Jewish men, the men and the women were separate, all these Jewish men are standing there listening to him, right? And he gets to stand there. He considers this. He says, "Let me take this chance to tell people about Jesus." Has anyone ever seen the space shuttle launch before on TV? I know it's been a few years. Anyone been there live? You have? How cool is it? Is it cool? Is it loud? Is it powerful? Is it? Yeah, that's amazing, right? It's pretty incredible. Even watching on TV, you watch, you know, the amount of math and science and technology, 3 things I'm terrible at, right, that go into that. It's incredible. You know, they have a spreadsheet, you know, just kind of a spreadsheet, and it has on that spreadsheet wind speed, temperature, humidity, angle of the sun, because all these things need to be exactly right for them to launch the shuttle off. So if you go watch, odds are it's probably going to get canceled more likely than it's actually going to go off, because they have to have exactly the right temperatures. Otherwise, things would just fall apart. So they have to be very careful. You know, sometimes that's how we treat evangelism, right? Let me get everything right exactly how I need it, and then maybe I'll share the gospel. Right? Let me go sit on this bench from 1:45 to 2:15, and if somebody happens to come by that I can relate to, that maybe looks like me, then I'll share the gospel with them. But the rest of my day is booked, God. Sorry. Can't do that. But we need to take every thought, every moment captive for Jesus. We need to consider that every moment, every opportunity that we leave the house, that we leave this church, could be a chance to share the gospel with somebody. We need to be looking and ready and sensitive to where the Holy Spirit would lead us. A lot of you have mentioned before, you've been in churches, they have a sign as you leave at the top, And the sign says, now entering the mission field, right? It's a reminder that when we leave the church, we are entering into the mission field. We're entering in where God is calling us to go. You are called as missionaries, every single one of you who believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You're called as missionaries to go into the world and share the gospel, share the good news. So go. We got to be in step with the Spirit, talking with Him, listening to Him, asking questions of Him, considering every situation we're in a chance to share the gospel. That's what Paul does. Standing on the steps, he notices, I got a crowd here. Let me tell them something. Let me tell them something. So the second thing on the yellow sheet, ask permission to talk to the person. Verse 37, as the soldiers are about to take Paul to the barracks, he asked the commander, may I say something to you? Do you speak Greek? He replied. Aren't you the Egyptian who started a revolt and led 4,000 terrorists out into the wilderness some time ago? Paul answered, I am a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no ordinary city. Please let me speak to the people. May I say something to you? A simple question, he asks the guard. But he asks it in a way the guard can understand. And he says, aren't you that Egyptian guy? What's that about? Well, there was this Egyptian guy about the same time as Paul. He came and he grabbed about 4,000 terrorists or revolutionaries, and he took them to the Mount of Olives, and he said, we're going to overthrow the Roman government. Take a look at the walls of Jerusalem. It's all going to come crumbling down. And then guess what? Rome found out, and they pursued the Egyptian, and they caught him, and they got all these people and massacred a lot of them. So obviously, they don't want that to happen again. So he's saying, are you this Egyptian? But he says, no, I speak Greek. No, listen to me. Can I turn and talk to all these people that are here? Now, sometimes the asking of a question is how you discern the Holy Spirit, whether he's leading you somewhere or not leading you somewhere. Can I talk to you? Can I tell you a story? Can I tell you the story of old that I like to share? So third thing, begin by finding common ground with the person that you're speaking with. You're going to go share the gospel. Find common ground with that person. Verse 40, after receiving the commander's permission, Paul stood on the steps and motioned to the crowd. When they were all silent, he said to them in Aramaic, brothers and fathers, listen now to my defense. When they heard him speak to them in Aramaic, they became very quiet. Then Paul said, I am a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in the city. I studied under Gamaliel and was thoroughly trained in the law of our ancestors. I was just as zealous for God as any of you were today. When Paul starts speaking, he speaks in Aramaic. He speaks in the language of the people, the common language that people could understand, everybody could understand. I did not grow up a follower of Christ. All right, I've shared that before. Maybe some of you here didn't either. You came to Christ later in life. I came at 16, a teenager. I didn't grow up going to church. I didn't know the church language. So if you imagine if someone had come to me and started telling me about supplication and justification and righteousness and all these words, what would I say? Right? See you later. Right? Do we need to talk about those things? Of course we do. But do we need to use words that people can understand? Do we need to relate to people where they're coming from and when they're at? Yeah, we do. Words like love. Everyone knows love. We have broken pictures of love, not like the perfect love of God, of Jesus, but we can talk about love, that God loves you, that God loves you. He loves you so much he sent his son Jesus to die for you so that you would not have to die, to take on that death so that you can have eternal life. See, Paul opens his mouth, he begins speaking in Aramaic in the language that people can relate to. And they say, oh, I know this language. And it says that he went like this and they got quiet, but when he started speaking in a way they could understand, what did they do? They got very quiet. All right, let's listen to what he has to say. And he finds that common ground. Brothers and sisters, we are one, we are together. I am like you in this journey. Fourth thing, share what your life was like before Jesus. That's what he does. Verse 4, I persecuted the followers of this way to their death, arresting both men and women, throwing them into prison as the high priest and the council can themselves testify. I even obtained letters from them to their associates in Damascus and went there to bring these people as prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished. I persecuted Christians, Paul says. This was my life. I was good at what I did. I thought I was doing good. I even got approval from those in authority. I had success. Right? This sounds like Paul's testimony here. Sounds like the modern American testimony, right? I was working a good job. I was making lots of money. My superiors thought I was doing well. Everything was going well for me. Then he encountered the living God. And it changed his life. And it changed his life. And he could no longer keep doing what he was doing. The fifth thing, share how you encountered the living God in a way that the person you're speaking to can relate to. Verse 6, about noon I came near Damascus. Suddenly a bright light from heaven flashed around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice say to me, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? I asked. I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting, he replied. My companions saw the light, but they did not understand the voice of him who was speaking to me. What shall I do, Lord? I asked. Get up, go into Damascus. There you'll be told all that you have been assigned to do. So Acts 9 is the story of Paul coming to Christ. This is him retelling the story, and he tells it one more time again later in the book of Acts. And each time it's a little different, right? It's not because he's wrong. It's his story. It's his testimony. It's because he's sharing it in a way that the people listening can understand to what he's saying. Like, for an example, you know, we think of blindness being blind, that we're blinded by darkness, but he says, no, it was a light that blinded me. All I could see was light. That's what blinded me. And he compares this Jesus to the God of light, right, who created light in this way. Here's the thing about your testimony. If you're a believer in Christ, you have a testimony. Whatever it is, whatever it looks like, it is your testimony. It is how God encountered you and how you came to know him. We can argue about theology. We can argue about all sorts of things, and people do. But they can't argue with your testimony. It is the story of what God has done in your life. It is the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony that gives life. In this testimony, we give glory to God and testify that God is actually working in the world right now. Maria just prayed that earlier. I love that prayer, right? I pray to you because you are working right now, Lord. You're not the God of 2,000 years ago. Just the God of 2,000 years ago. You're the God of today. You're working in my life. Let me tell you about my testimony. He gives glory to Jesus. He's the one who set me free from my life of persecuting the church. He showed me that I was really persecuting him. In this passage, he confesses to these Jews, I called him Lord. I called Jesus Lord. Jesus allowed me to see my sin and be forgiven, and I was baptized, and my sins were washed away. And the power of the Holy Spirit-filled testimony of the believer that cannot be overstated. And every single one of us have a testimony, a story of what God has done. And lastly, 6, this is important. This is one we miss. Prepare to be persecuted for what you say. Prepare to be persecuted for what you say. Verse 22, I wanted to end on this verse because it reminds us of that. The crowd listened to Paul until he said this. Then they raised their voices and shouted, rid the earth of him. He's not fit to live. Rid the earth of him. All right, Paul himself says the message of the cross is foolishness to the world. So don't be surprised when the world treats you like a fool. Don't be surprised when the world says, that message is garbage. I don't like that message. That's no good. Right? It's a message that we've maybe lost. Comfortable Christianity has lost that. That if we're faithfully in the world sharing the gospel, shaking things up with this scandalous message of forgiveness, that we will face persecution. We will be called insane as Jesus was, of two minds, right? And yet, we must prepare for that as we go, as we share our testimony of what God has done for us and as we share the gospel. So that's an example from Paul of how he does it. I encourage you to flip over your yellow sheet now. There's a guideline there. How long does it take to do all that? Well, I propose 3 minutes, right? Not me, but the Zume guidebook, right? Which is a book about evangelism training and much more, right? Let me just read. As followers of Jesus, we are witnesses testifying about the impact Jesus has had on our lives. Your story of your relationship with God is your testimony. Everyone has a story. Sharing your testimony is a chance to practice yours. There's 3 ways to do that. You can just share a simple statement. This is why I chose to follow Jesus. I follow Jesus because. You can share before and after like Paul did. This was my life before Jesus. This is my life with Jesus, after Jesus. You can do with and without. This was my life without Jesus. This is my life with Jesus. And you can think of it in 3 parts, it says there. Their story, ask the person you're talking to share about their journey. Your story, share your testimony. And God's story, share God's story of what he's done for you and what God is doing in this world. 3 minutes you can share the gospel. 3 minutes you can share your testimony. I want to invite Larry up. Larry's going to give us a 3-minute testimony, his testimony of how God met him in his life.
If you all have about 3 minutes to spare, I'd like to tell you a story. My story. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. When I was about 15, I decided that there was really no place for God in my life and that I would live life on my own terms. Well, that decision led to literally decades of bad choices, broken relationships, and even addiction. Then one day something happened. I guess it was a vision from God, and I saw that if I didn't change my life and change it radically and soon, there were going to be some serious consequences. Well, around that time, there was a guy from my wife's church who had been calling me every Saturday night, inviting me to come to church. So finally, I went, and I learned there that all that bad stuff that I had been doing was called sin, and that there was absolutely no amount of good that I could do to make up for all of that bad. But I also learned that God had made a way, that he sent Jesus into the world to die, to pay the penalty for my sins, and for the penalties, and for to pay the penalty for the sins of every other human being. Jesus willingly gave his life as a sacrifice to pay the penalty for my sins, which I rightly deserve to pay. There was a big hole in my life, and I had been trying to fill it with all the wrong things, when, in fact, the only thing that could really fill that hole was Jesus. If I would give my life to Jesus, all my sins would be forgiven. And I could know that when I die, I would go to be with God forever in heaven. Well, that's what I did. I gave my life to Jesus. And that was the best decision I have ever made. By far, absolutely the best decision I have ever made. God changed my life radically. I have very strong, very sweet relationships. My life has purpose. And now God is using me in a way that I can help other people change their lives. Well, that's my story. And if you would like to know a little more about how God can change your life, I'd be more than happy to sit with you and talk a little more about those things.
He shared his story, right? And then talked about Jesus. That's it. We're not overthinking it, right? We're sharing our story and talking about Jesus, what he has done for us. Amen. 3 minutes. Praise God. And people heard the gospel. So what he did is share his story as a model. But, you know, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus and you're like, man, my life has a hole in it. I need this hole filled. I need Jesus. The call is now to you, to anyone here today, to come and receive. He came for you today. He's calling you to himself today to come be forgiven, to be set free of your sin, to find the purpose like Larry has found purpose in Christ alone. As we close today, you know, this is the covenant book of worship. And in here, they have different things. You know, when I came here, they welcomed me with this book. And when missionaries come, they get sent out. And when people become different things, they get welcomed. And so today I want to read this and pray this over us. Because like I said before, we are missionaries. We're going into the world. We each have a testimony. You are being commissioned. I'm commissioning you today to go into the world as missionaries and share the good news of Jesus with the world. That's what I want to do. That's how I want to end. That's our calling that we need to understand. You don't need to raise support. You don't need to move anywhere. You don't need to do any of that. Right now, you're being commissioned to go share the gospel. So I want you to rise right now and receive this commissioning, this calling to go share into the world. God, who calls people to go to the ends of the earth with the good news of Jesus Christ, we join with you today in the special task and important work. Fill us with your Spirit.
Ready us for your mission. Through the touch of our hands and the labor of our backs, through the work of our minds and the words of our mouth, do your work in communicating the good news and extending the kingdom. In this time, may we grow in grace and our knowledge of you. May we work well together as your body in Christ. May we effectively and faithfully serve others in your name. May we be used in introducing people to Jesus, and may they give glory to you by their actions. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Now go share that good news with the world. Don't leave here today without sharing that. Well, no, leave here today and then go share that, right? Don't get home until you share that good news. You have now been commissioned as a missionary for Jesus Christ. Go and share that good news. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this example from Paul of how he shared his story of what you've done. And each of us have a testimony, a story similar to Larry's of what we were like before, and then we met you, and now you've changed us, Lord. And we want to share that good news. We want to give hope to this world. There's so much lack of hope in this world. But we have a word of hope, and we've hid it for too long, Lord. Forgive us for hiding it, but let's put that light on a hill. Let it shine from this church. Let it shine as we go to our homes and to our places of work and to our schools and wherever we're going, Lord, that we may be faithful witnesses for you and for what you are doing. We thank you for sending Jesus to die for us in our place. We thank you for the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. May we continue to faithfully obey and follow your word and seek you in all places that we go. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.